This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. The list of big global retailers not joining an agreement to improve worker safety in Bangladesh grows ever longer. Uniqlo, the fourth largest clothing company in Japan, announced yesterday it's opting out of the agreement, just like Walmart, The Gap, and JCPenney, to name just a couple. The point of the whole thing, clearly, is to make things better for the people who make cheap clothes. But what, besides big retailers signing a piece of paper, might actually get that done? Richard Locke is a professor of management at MIT and, more to the point, for our purposes, the author of a new book called Promoting Labor Standards in a Global Economy. Professor Locke, good to have you with us.
It's great to be here with you.
Have you been in some of these factories? What's it like?
I have been at quite a number of these factories, and they're pretty mixed. Some of the factories are pretty well run, and others are actually pretty poorly organized, and you can see that lighting, air quality isn't great. They're pretty mixed places.
I imagine then that their degree of receptiveness to pressure from the outside is also somewhat disorganized as well, right? When American consumers press on the companies to press on their suppliers.
Yeah, I think that the reception is always mixed, but I think what they all share, regardless of whether the factories are well organized or not, is that they're being pressured by those same companies to maintain or improve standards while producing the same goods at the same rate, if not faster, same quality price, when in fact their input costs, their transportation costs are going up. So I think they all kind of resent that they're the ones being held accountable for something that is partially their doing, but partially the doing of we as consumers and the brands and retailers.
Without trying to apply first world management problems to developing countries, are there efficiencies, I guess, that might apply, that might help them, you know, sort of do things better, faster, cheaper, and keep making some money?
Absolutely. There's a bunch of things that don't take a lot of money to invest in that would dramatically improve their efficiencies.
Okay, so why don't they?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of them don't do it for two reasons. One, a lot of the managers in many of these plants are not especially well-trained. They were basically really good workers who got promoted to be supervisors. The other reason I think they don't make these investments is because they have no guarantees that the buyers, whether they're global brands or large retailers, will come back next year or even next season to give them the kinds of orders that they need.
What do, in practice, what do these inefficiencies look like? I mean, are there bolts of fabric stacked in hallways and shirt buttons all over the place? Is that what it is?
Yeah, so when you go and see some of these factories, you'll see these bolts of fabric that are kind of stacked up one on top of the other, not well organized, sure. And you wonder how will they ever know which bolt do they need to get for that order. They may not even find it, so then they order another one. Just organizing it in a variety of different ways would give them great efficiencies.
This is more of a behavioral economics question than anything else, but what do you suppose would happen if Walmart, just to, you know, pick on them again, came out and said, you know what, we're going to charge $2 more for all of our T-shirts, and we're going to make sure that $2 gets to the plant in Bangladesh. American consumers would, what, not shop there, shop there anyway, go somewhere else?
It depends on the consumer.
Yeah.
There have been a series of experiments in a bunch of different settings where they've actually played around with pricing and labeling and stuff like that. And what those experiments show is that consumers at certain higher price points are willing to pay more, but not the bulk of the consumers. And I would assume that the bulk of those consumers are the Walmart consumers. But if we stick to Walmart, what we know is that Walmart was able to introduce, for example, marine certified fish or organic vegetables. And they were able to do these things not by asking their consumers to spend more, but by basically using what they know how to do well, which is more efficient supply chain management, to make sure that they could get those products at the right price point into their stores. If they can do it for fish, or they can do it with some electronics, or they can do it with organic vegetables, I don't understand why they can't do it for sneakers and garments.
Richard Locke is a professor of political science at MIT. Professor, thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Kai.